if for whatever reason we can't go, then let us engage in those a'mal through which we can earn the sawab of Hajj. Then we will be true. Otherwise, we just want to please our nafs. We're just saying something we want to do, whereas we're not really sincere that I want to make my Allah happy. The other thing is that, see, with regards to the masail of Hajj and all those things, then those people who are going for Hajj, they will go and they will learn the masail of Hajj and the fazail of Hajj. But for us to learn that, you know what, one day when Allah Ta'ala is going to take me for Hajj, then how I must go for Hajj? So we must remember that Hajj, by and large, in today's time, is like a monetary ibadat, you know. Hajj is a monetary ibadat. You can only go if you have the means. If you don't have the means, how are you going to go? After that, in the Hajj, there's many other ibadat. But for Hajj to become binding on a person, is dependent on his financial position, right? Now, this money that we use to go for Hajj, it must be very pure. Otherwise, millions and millions are going for Hajj. So much of dua is being made and everything. But how much of the wealth that is being used is halal? That only Allah Ta'ala knows. We don't judge anybody. But we must always have this in us that I must earn halal. You know, my rozi must be halal. Today, we just want the world. We want dunyavi possessions. Whichever way it's coming, it must come. And if there is some prohibition in our deen to earn in a certain way, then we want to shop around for fatawa and try and panel beat the masail of deen, that we must make it permissible. Somehow or the other, we must make it permissible. Person wants to deal in some type of thing on the internet or whatever, it's a grey area. No. Somehow, it must just find a way, it must be permissible. If he asked 10 muftis and 9 of them told him that, see, this thing is not permissible. But in between that 9 muftis, he learned how to phrase his question, you see. He asked the first mufti, the mufti told him, no, it's not permissible because of this reason. Second mufti told him, now he's learning. By the time he reached the 10th mufti, now he plugged all the holes. So the way he presents his question, now that mufti will tell him, no, if it's like this, it's permissible. Now he got a fatwa from the 10th mufti, he'll go and do it. But 9 muftis told him not permissible, he won't worry about that. He'll shop around till he gets one mufti who maybe doesn't even have full knowledge of the situation, or maybe the way he put the question forward. So Hazrat Maulana was saying, Muhammad Sadiq Sahib, he was giving this one incident, you know. He said that Allama Ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, he was imprisoned. Now we know Allama Ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, he became famous, people know him because of his dreams interpretation. But that wasn't his only qualification. He was a great, it was Allama, he called Allama not for nothing. He wasn't just called Maulana and Alim, he's called Allama, that means what a great Alim he was. How much knowledge of hadith he had, how much knowledge of fiqh he had, how much knowledge of tafsir he had. So Allama Ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, he was in jail. Now we think how a big buzur can end up in jail now. But he was in jail. Why he was in jail? You see, he had imported oil. He imported a big consignment of oil. And now, the oil came in leather bags, you know. Those days they didn't have all this plastic, which they now say is killing the planet and the fish and everything. Now they want to get rid of the plastic now, you know. But anyway, so this thing used to come in leather bags, hide. So when they got the oil, and now they were selling now, they're emptying. So from one bag, one dead rat came out. So now the masla is simple, that bag in which the rat was found, so that oil will be napak. The dead rat is found, oil is napak, now you must throw that oil away, you can't sell it, you can't use it. But Allama Ibn Sirin rahimahullah, he thought about it and he said, look, this bag is sealed. There's no way that the rat could have gone in this bag. So most probably this rat died in the tank in which the oil was being kept. So all this oil must be napak. So now he told his people that take all this oil, go in the desert and throw it in the desert. We can't sell this oil in napak. Hazrat Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi said that we met such people in our lives, he's referring to the Sahaba Nonum and the Tabi'in, that they left 70 doors of halal in order to save themselves from haram. Today our attitude is we will enter every doubtful door just to make a penny. Their system was they left 70 doors of halal to save themselves from haram. That I must be very, very far away from haram. So if Ibn Sirin rahimahullah went by the book, he just had to dispose of that one bag of oil. But his taqwa didn't allow him that. He said, no, this thing must be dyed in the tank. So he disposed of all the oil. Now in those days, now he didn't have money to pay his creditors now, because you're supposed to sell the oil, you'll pay, now you got no money now. So now you can't pay, so they'll take you to the Qazi. So you say, I got no money. So in those days now, they'll lock you up for 3 months. They'll lock you up for 3 months, and they'll do an investigation to see whether you really don't have money. You really don't have money, then they'll release you, and now you, either your creditor will forgive you, or he'll give you some time to make the money and pay. So he preferred to sit 3 months in the prison. But no contamination must come in my risk. So how particular they were with their earnings. Then the akhlaq they had, the khair khahi they had with one another when they traded. That one sahabi, whatever this incident that I'm telling you, I heard in that majlis, Muhammad Salih Salih majlis. So one sahabi, He used to sell fabric. Now generally, you'll find like the fabric stores in one place, the other, you know, people selling dishes, they'll all be in one place. Now in these malls, they mixed everything up, made it like a sab kuch andar, maskal andar. But before, you'll have like one market, they're selling groceries. One market, they're doing this. One, if you travel a little bit in the world too, you'll find this. You go to the bazaar, one place they'll be selling fabric. You're looking for fabric, you know, you just go there. Now here what they did, they're contaminating us with love for the world. They make you walk through the mall. You don't need electronics, by. You don't need shoes. You're going there to buy a loaf of bread. But you must pass the electronic shop. You must pass the shoes. That gadget too we need to have. Pass the game shop. Pass the shop selling knives. Pass the shop selling guns. Now all those things are in your head. And the internet also does the same thing to you. What you don't need, one person said very beautifully, you want to spend money you don't have, to buy things you don't need, to impress people you don't like. So, anyway, coming back to this incident here, that this sahabi, he was a cloth merchant, you know, selling material. So one person came and he wanted to buy a good consignment of material. You know. He came to him. So the sahabi told him, he said, see, all this material you're looking for, so my neighbor across the road there, he has got all this material at a very good price. So this person also had the material. He didn't say, I don't have the material. But he says, see, all this material you're looking for, that across the road, my neighbor there, if you go there, you'll get it at a very good price. So he went there and he bought the material, big consignment. But after that he was curious, ke Baba, I came by you, you had the material, why are you sending me across the road? So he explained to him, he said, see, I did sales for the day. But I was watching my neighbor, he didn't do any sales. And you came, now you had a healthy order. He said, rather, you go there, at least he'll also do some sales. How they thought, and today how we think, I must close him down. Why he is opening here? My competition. No. Now is Allah Pak going to be happy with that kind of attitude? As Mawlana mentioned, there's a very famous, it comes in the Ahadith, that there was one Sahabi, he opened the shop. He ran the shop for a few months. So obviously in that time, when he was running the shop, so he couldn't sit so much in the majlis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? Because now he has to see to the shop also. So he was coming, sitting, but some time was going in the shop. So after some time he closed the shop up, and he was doing well, shop was profitable, he was doing well in the shop, but now he closed the shop. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees that he's one way in the majlis again. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, what happened? He said, no, closed up the shop. So why you closed up the shop? He said, no, it served its purpose. It served its purpose. He said, what purpose? He said, no, I was sitting here and I heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that a person who refunds a customer is called iqala in the books of fiqh. But a person came to you, he bought something. There's no fault in the item. It's not the wrong size. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the item. He bought it and he went away. Now after that he had a change of heart. Or maybe now he realized he's out of pocket or whatever. And he brings the item back and he says to you, you know what? Please, man, can you take it back? Give my money back. There's no fault in the item. So from a masla point of view, you don't have to take the item back. I mean, you sold him the item. It's in good working order, no flaws, nothing with it. You gave. Now it belongs to him now. Now if he comes back to you, now this is a fresh sale. In other words, he wants to now sell it to you. Right? So you got a choice whether you want to buy or not. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that if a person has to bring that item back and you refund him, it's alright now, man. I'll take it back. There's your money. Take your money back. Allah Ta'ala will make iqala of your gunas on day of Qiyam. In other words, Allah will forgive you. He'll wipe out your sins. So the Sahabi said that I opened that shop only to get this virtue. So I'm waiting so many months, nobody is coming. Nobody is coming to return. So many months went away. I thought quick, somebody will come, my job will be done. But it took so many months. Eventually somebody came. When he came, I embraced him. Mera kaam ban gaya. I embraced him, everything. I said, shukriya bhai, please bring it back. Take the money, I close the shop. Shop has served its purpose. Even their dunyavi activity was to earn the akhirat. Our ibadat has come to earn the dunya. We have made our ibadat also to earn dunya. And their aspects of the akhirat also, the aspects of the dunya, that was to earn the akhirat. I was telling you that day about that alim was studying. And his child passed away. His own child passed away. And he never attended the janaza. He said, I'll miss my lessons. His own son passed away. He entrusted the burial, everything, to some other family member. He said, you all do it. I'm engrossed in study. The janaza somebody else can do, but my study is for me. Who's going to study on my behalf? Nobody else can study on my behalf. I must concentrate on my study. Today students ask permission for leave. Silly reasons. Where is our shock? And then we expect Allah to give us. Allah who is independent, we expect Allah to give us that ilm and deen and everything. When for small reasons, trivial reasons, we want off. This morning I was so touched. When Ustad had an accident. I'm talking Fajr time. Ustad, before Fajr class, Ustad was coming to Marissa, he had accident. So he phoned from the road to say, no, I can't drive the car. The car is now, it can't move. I don't think I'll make it for class, but maybe I'll come 8 o'clock. For 8 o'clock class, I'll be there. He's not telling me anything about how bad his car is damaged. He's not telling me anything about his whether he is hurt, nothing. So I told Mona Yusuf, I said, but you know what, just go quickly and go on the road and find Morana. It's dangerous also, this part of the morning, he's alone there, his car is in an accident, go and check if he's okay, whatever. After a few minutes, I see Morana Yusuf coming back. I come to Marissa, Morana is in class. No, I told my father and them where the car is, they can sort that out. And Mona Yusuf came, so now I got a lift to come Madrasa. Yes, we go Madrasa, I need to go to class. So this is how a person is supposed to be. A student of deen must be like this. A teacher of deen must be like this. Allah is giving an opportunity. You have to treasure it. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Allah give us tawfiq. آخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.